63 million preborn babies at least have been killed by abortion since January 22, 1973, with the Supreme Court decision of Roe v. Wade. Meanwhile, a pro-life website called HoseaForYou.org, Hosea, H-O-S-E-A, the number 4U, Y-O-U.org, lists the following victims of abortion with a link for each category. They ask, who is broken by abortion? And they list American citizens deceived, youth misled, fathers discarded, mothers tempted, minorities targeted, mothers and fathers suffering, languages contorted, consciences troubled, Catholics, and one could add members of other denominations, manipulated, health care infected. In short, there is a great deal of destructive fallout from the whole abortion industry. Terry Beatley, author of the book What If We've Been Wrong, maintains this website, again, HoseaForYou.org, and is a public speaker for the pro-life cause. A major aspect of Terry Beatley's work is to pass on the pro-life message of the late Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who was actually one of the key architects of the whole pro-abortion movement until his change of heart, and he became strongly pro-life before his death about a decade ago. Terry, we welcome you to the program. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Terry Beatley, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on today. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, Dr. Bernard Nathanson oversaw some 60,000 abortions. He co-founded NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action League. But I understand he had a total change of heart, became pro-life. I'm sure the left must have hated him after a while because of his change of heart. But tell us about Bernard Nathanson and then your relationship with him.
Well, Dr. Bernard Nathanson, he's not just one of many former abortionists. I think one of the main things listeners should know is he's the father of the abortion industry in America. The idea of, you know, ambulatory in-out same-day surgery abortions, that was a fairly new concept that he masterminded, this idea of having these types of, quote, clinics set up all across the United States, you know, in any city, you know, anywhere from, you know, a dozen or more. And Dr. Nathanson, after he unleashed 8 points of propaganda to deceive the Americans and the courts of our land, Dr. Nathanson ended up becoming 100% unequivocally pro-life. That was as an atheist. And later, he became a child of God on December 8, 1996. So he's, like you said, he's the key architect. And it's a story that every American should know.
You know, it's interesting. I interviewed him the mid-80s, but it was maybe even late 80s. It was definitely before the conversion parts of Bernard Nathanson. Because I remember him, now that you said it, mentioned that he was an atheist, but he was pro-life. He had become pro-life, and it was the science that convinced him. Because, you know, basically the whole idea of abortion, they've sold this along the lines of, well, this is just a blob of tissue. This is just a clump of cells. This is just a fetus. You know, they've dehumanized the unborn.
Right.
But tell us more about Nathanson, you know, in terms of, well, what did he try to do to undo the damage?
Well, one of the things he did was he agreed to my interview. So you had asked before, what was my connection with him? I was at that time part of the Nazarene Church, and I was participating in a 24-hour prayer vigil. And I was fervently asking the Lord what he wanted me to do with all this information I had accumulated over the years, crossing the racial divide in Virginia, sharing, you know, the history of all this with many people. And all I could hear was, go interview Dr. Bernard Nathanson. And so I found his number, called up there, and his wife answered, and she instructed me to write a letter, fax it up there, and she would present it to her husband. And to both of our surprises, he said yes. So I flew up to New York on December 1st, 09. It was a one-hour interview. He was 83, terminally ill with cancer. And at the end of the interview, I felt such remorse for him, just sadness, empathy. And I said, Dr. Nathanson, if you have a message for America, tell me what it is, and I promise you I'll deliver it across our country until it becomes common knowledge or until Roe v. Wade is overturned. And that's when he said yes. He said, continue teaching the strategy of how I deceived America, and then tell America that the co-founder of NARAL says to love one another, abortion's not love, stop the killing. The world needs more love, and I'm all about love now. So that's the long part of, well, what has he done? He's left his legacy behind, and he wants everybody to know.
Wow. Okay, let's talk about this strategy. And before we get into that, I just want to point out the obvious. The United States of America, when it was founded, they said in the Declaration of Independence that we have rights given to us by God, and the first one listed is the right to life. So this whole issue of abortion is a critical one because it's an attack on the very right to life. And that's why even the movement itself against abortion is called the Right to Life Movement. So go tell us about this 8-point strategy to deceive Americans to accept abortion as if it's a good thing. And here we are 63 million abortions later.
Well, it's amazing because I could canvass, probably, 2,000 pro-lifers, frontline activists, and I would venture to say at least 95% of them have no idea about this 8-point strategy. But yet, at Jose Initiative, we know that when pro-lifers get equipped with the 8 parts of this strategy, understand how to communicate it with other people, it's the very information that begins to change people's minds on the other side of this issue. And that's before you even crack open the Word of God. And so, because people don't want to be lied to, want the truth, no matter how ugly the truth is, they want the truth. So Dr. Nate, it would be too much to flush out all these 8 points, but they framed the debate and they framed it around choice. A woman's right to choose. Of course, they didn't say choose what. It was just a woman's right to choose. And then they created these slogans, very devious slogans, like my body, my choice. They used the complicit media because Nathanson was very quick to realize that most of the reporters were young females, and he could tell them almost anything. This was back in the late 60s, early 70s. And they would believe anything he would tell them. Well, what would he tell them? He'd tell them number four. He'd tell them fabricated facts, i.e. lies. He would say that 1 million women a year are having, back alley abortions, and 5,000 to 10,000 women a year were dying due to complications. Well, those were bald-faced lies. There were never 5,000, 10,000 women dying.
Let me jump in real fast on that particular point, because I remember somebody said this, and I looked it up, and there it was in black and white. The CDC said that the number of reported deaths in America from complications from abortion in 1972, the last year before Roe v. Wade, was 39. So 39 women died from abortions in America. At least that was what was reported, as opposed to this idea of 10,000 a year. But Dr. D. James Kennedy once had lunch with the converted change Dr. Bernard Nathanson, and they were discussing that very issue of this 10,000 figure. And Dr. Kennedy said, so where did you guys get it? And he said, Nathanson took his hand in the air and he just sort of like he was grabbing some stars or something. He said, we just pulled it straight out of the air and then fed it to the media. And then they reported it like it was true. All right, go on with point number 5.
Well, and that you actually covered point number 5, because that was the 60% number. So Dr. Nathanson would say that 60% of Americans wanted abortion on demand legalized. This is what he would say back in the late 60s, early 70s. The real percentage, though, was not 60%. It was 0.1%.
Oh, wow.
I want to repeat that because it's so audacious, the boldness of the lie. So he would tell Americans and the American reporters, 60% of Americans want abortion on demand legalized, but the real percent was 0.1%. And America doesn't know this story. All right, I think we're on point number 6. This is all by rote memory, by the way. boy, never, he would repeat the lies over and over and over. And we all know that if the lies are repeated over enough in the media, it begins to sound like the truth. Point number seven, he would justify or rationalize legalizing abortion. He would say, look, let's just get this thing legalized so the doctors and the women are not felons and call it a day. But we all know that when you legalize something, it drives up demand. So it actually became the self-fulfilling lie. So he would lie to the reporters and say a million women were having back alley abortions, illegal. But as soon as it became legalized, within a few years, we were hitting 1.5 million, quote, legal abortions. So it became the self-fulfilling lie. And then the eighth point that NARAL quickly recognized back in the late 60s, you know, and they had formed their organization in New York City, and New York had and still does have lots and lots of Catholics. Well, for, you know, basically 1970 years, and you're near about, the Catholic Church had identified abortion as an intrinsic evil. So NARAL knew that they had to have a political ploy in place to deceive enough Catholic voters into supporting pro-abortion candidates. So they literally devised what they called the Catholic strategy. And it was extremely successful, as it still is today. And so our goal at Jose Initiative is to make sure the promise that I made to Dr. Bernard Nathanson is fulfilled, that the average American knows of his beautiful parting message about love and that abortion is not love and stop the killing, but to also learn about the eight-point strategy. And then people can make a much more educated and enlightened decision on whether or not they really think abortion should be decriminalized. I think the average American, once they learn the 8 points of propaganda and Dr. Nathanson's parting message, will say, my gosh, I don't think abortion should be legalized anymore. The loss of 63 million babies is far too many.
Okay, now, Terry, we have about 2 minutes left here. When you're talking about the Catholic angle, let's just discuss that a little bit, because right now we have President Joe Biden, who in effect says, I'm a good Catholic, but on the other hand, he turns around and says, I don't care what the Catholic Church says about abortion, I'm going to, you know, promote it anyway. And also Nancy Pelosi claims she's a good Catholic, but they're both very strong pro-abortion. How do we explain that? And in the meantime, what was Nathanson's goal? Was it basically to demonize the Catholics, at least demonize the pro-life Catholics?
No. Oh, you mean when he was still an abortionist? No, what he wanted to do was to dismantle the authority, the moral authority of the Catholic Church, which had been standing for over 1,900 years, in proclaiming that abortion is an intrinsic evil. What most of your listeners might not know is the church today still stands on that. But I mean, you take the average American, they probably think the Catholic Church is for abortion just by looking at Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
So Nathanson wanted to dismantle, number one, they wanted to quiet the bishops. They wanted to make the bishops think that they didn't have any platform to speak, any authority. They wanted to blame the bishops every time a woman died of illegal abortion.
Yeah.
There are four components to it, way too much for probably this interview.
Right. Yeah, we're basically out of time. So let me go ahead and give your website, which is Hosea4life.org. Terry, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
All right. Thank you.
Sure. Bye-bye.